This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
Waking up after a new low.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Good morning. It's going to be an interesting day, to say the least. It's the end of the toughest week for Wall Street this year, and markets around the world have been trying to make sense of what's happening. U.S. stocks fell to their lowest point of 2008 yesterday, and Asian markets today saw losses across the board. The main index in China ended down more than 5%, a 2% loss for the Nikkei. Losses in Europe have been more modest so far. Stephen Beard has more from London.
French and German stock markets fell by 1% in early trading. London fared marginally better, but only because it had lost more than 2.5% yesterday. Bank shares were among the worst performers. Fears are growing that the credit crunch is far from over. David Buick of BGC Group says the whole market has been hit by an apparently endless stream of bad tidings.
Whether it's inflation, oil price at $140 a barrel, corporate earnings dropping, growth dropping, when are we going to hear some good news?
Not anytime soon, according to the investment bank Barclays Capital. It says the Fed has lost all credibility and has let the inflation genie out of the bottle. Barclays advises clients to batten down the hatches for a worldwide financial storm. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Dow plunged 358 points yesterday, a loss of 3%. It closed at 11,453. The Nasdaq fell more than 3%, down 79 points to 2321. The S&P 500 lost 38, nearly 3%, to 1283. One of the things that drove Wall Street into the ground yesterday was a downgrade of General Motors. That sent the automaker's shares to their lowest level in more than 30 years. John McCain will visit a GM plant in Ohio today. Yesterday, Barack Obama huddled with top business leaders in Pittsburgh. Both presumptive presidential nominees have gotten an earful from manufacturers. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look at what heavy industry will want from a new president.
If manufacturers were to write out a wish list for the presidential candidates, it would go something like this. Dear John and Barack, what are you going to do about health care costs? They're crushing us.
It would not surprise me to see some type of universal health care plan being pushed by the manufacturing sector to become more competitive.
That's Lloyd Wood, spokesman for the American Manufacturing Trade Action Coalition. Also on his wish list, rebuild the nation's crumbling infrastructure. And then there's China. Scott Paul of the Alliance for American Manufacturing wants the next president to designate China a currency manipulator.
It subsidizes its industries. It manipulates its currency.
The alliance is trying to get voters on board with web videos.
The next president will have the opportunity to reshape the global playing field.
It doesn't hurt that heavy manufacturing states like Ohio and Michigan are considered key swing states. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Gas station owners are also paying the price for the high cost of fuel, and Visa is stepping in with a swipe of relief. When you use your credit card to pay for gas, there's a built-in transaction fee the station owner has to pay. Usually, it's a little less than 2% of your total purchase. Every time the price of gas goes up, so does the amount of that charge. Visa says it will lower the transaction fees for service stations.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation of Kansas City, the foundation of entrepreneurship. Online at kauffman.org.
Well, hopefully the weekend will allow you some time to relax and forget, at least for a bit, about a lot of the tough news we're dealing with right now. Despite the slowing economy, Hollywood is still betting on a money-making summer movie season. We're about halfway through the season, and Variety's Stuart Levine joins us now to look at the winners and the losers so far and what's ahead. All right, Stu, let's start with the winners.
The big surprise, I'd say, for summer is Iron Man. I mean, Indiana Jones might not overtake it. Iron Man might be the biggest movie of summer, which if you had said at the beginning of the summer Iron Man would be number one and would defeat Indiana Jones, you would get very few believers at that, but it turns out to be the case.
I did go out to see that, but I have to say, opening up the paper last weekend, not very compelled to see anything that was on the list. What's the rest of the summer looking like?
Well, we have this weekend is actually really interesting. You have the two big W's going against each other. You have WALL-E, which is the Pixar film, and Pixar films traditionally do huge. And then you have Wanted, which is an Angelina Jolie action movie. There's been a really good word of mouth on that. So that could be two movies that could both do well in the same weekend. So you have that. You have Dark Knight coming out, the new Batman movie, which could be really good. People want to see Heath Ledger's last performance. You also have Hancock, the Will Smith movie. So still have a lot of good legs left for summer.
What's your prediction for the way the summer movie season will end?
I think it's going to be up. I mean, there's been a lot of films that people thought would not do as well as they did. I would say the big summer hits so far have been, we talked about Iron Man, but certainly Sex and the City. Incredible Hulk, the first one was kind of a disaster. You know, that one's already done over $100 million. I mean, those are some of the smaller hits. The duds so far have been, I would say, Speed Racer for Warner Brothers. And Love Guru was a disaster. And the other disappointment, and it's hard to classify it, you know, for layman's terms as $136 million is a disappointment, but Chronicles of Narnia, the first one did nearly $300 million. Sequels of that magnitude usually do better the second time around. This did $136 so far. So that's a big disappointment. Looking back, the people at Disney said they should never have put it out in May when you had competition like Iron Man and Indiana Jones and Sex and the City. They said it was a really bad place for it.
It just couldn't fight.
And it couldn't just
spot.
Fit in that area. It came out as a holiday film last time. I think that would have been a better place for it.
Stu Levine is managing editor at Variety. So nice to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
For more from the Morning Report, visit marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.